Everywhere I turn, I hurt someone. But there's nothing I can say to change the things I've done. I'd do anything within my power.
Hey there, loyal fans. Welcome to Swordscast Episode 9. I'm Anayu.
I'm Swords of the Wolves.
And I am Skull.
And unfortunately tonight, we are not joined by Rusty, and we have been having some scheduling issues, which is also why there haven't been a lot of episodes coming out lately.
Some scheduling issues, that's an understatement.
Yeah. But we do have still have a lot of goodies for you tonight on this episode, and we're hoping to have some more goodies for you later, and, you know...
We got plenty scheduled. We've got, what, 6 months worth of stuff to catch up on?
Yeah.
Several, to be sure.
A good deal. Okay. But...
So, just expect a huge show. I bet you're all getting tired of just hearing me interview people, so let's get back to a regular episode.
All right. So, first on our agenda, under our site and forum news, we have the opening of, four sources? Yes.
One, two, three, four. Four sources. That's one with two extra squiggles on it, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, then.
So.
So, yes, we have Brother Bear Source is the first of the new ones. Then Oliver and Company Source, Anastasia Source, and the newest of the new, which just came up earlier this week, Bambi Source.
Yay. All these are terrific sources. I love the sources, and I love the movies from which they are based. So, I think I knew that all of them were in the works, and I know Anastasia Source has been active on the Fringe side for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they're all open, yay, four new sources to Animation Source.
That sounded a little sarcastic.
Oh, I'm sorry, I guess I didn't give it enough oomph, did I? Awesome, we got a whole bunch of new sources! I'm so excited, I can't wait! Okay, I'm done.
I think we all feel that way. / sarcasm. Anyway! So, I've been through the different shout boxes and some of the content, and they seem alright. I'm not too thrilled about Bambi Source, but that's mostly just because I don't see... Then, like, with Brother Bear and Anastasia and probably Oliver and Company, I don't really see them having very large fan bases on the internet. So,
well, we'll just have to see, I guess. Although, I think Brother Bear Source opened up right after we had recorded last episode, so it's actually been around a little while.
Yeah.
And the staff tried to keep it active, and they've been doing a pretty good job so far. Whereas the other sources are, for the most part, not so much.
Well, it's not so much.
So. The staff members for the sites, I'm not going to go into the specifics, but I guess the site admins will help out a little bit. The site admin for Brother Bear Sources, Muhammad891. The site admin for Oliver & Company Source is Rebelness. And
aw, Rebel.
The admin for Anastasia Source is Question, and the admin for Bambi Source is going to be me. So.
Okay.
Yay, Sourcecaster is admin. All hail.
All hail? Are we turning into, like, some crazy dictatorship? Well, wait, that's a stupid question. Anyway.
I was thinking, when I said all hail, that we would all be turning into little pellets of frozen rain, but okay.
Oh, well. That sounds painful.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Anyway. And now we're going to go ahead and get into some of our reviews, and I believe Swords saw both Rango and Tangled?
Yes, I did.
awesome.
Yep, I saw Rango in theaters. And let me say from the very beginning that this is not a movie that you want to take your younger siblings to. not in the fact that it's inappropriate, but it's like, there are a lot of obscure references to old school Westerns that you will not understand unless you've studied Westerns, or if you grew up during the time when Westerns were all over the place. And because I happen to actually be taking a class in the Western film genre, and I recognize there are references to Stagecoach, the Wand, the Searchers, and High Noon, and movies like that. And it's like these old school Westerns that it's paying tribute to, but kids aren't going to get that. A lot of kids aren't really going to find this movie terribly interesting, because, I mean, it's one of those movies. But it's a good movie though. I gotta admit, it came out of nowhere with this Blind Wink Studios that created it. There isn't even a page on Wikipedia for them.
Wow.
They went from like some no-name company to the company that makes this great film in like almost instantly. It's crazy. And it was distributed by Nickelodeon Films, and it's, oh man, it's good. It's really good.
Sounds like I'm definitely going to have to drop some cash and go see that.
Yeah, it's totally worth it, but you're going to have to brush up. Okay, you're going to have to, I would recommend go on Netflix and watch Stagecoach, the 1930s version.
Okay.
And High Noon.
Okay.
And you'll get some of the references.
Okay.
I can't think of all of them. Oh, and watch... And watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, too.
I've seen portions of that one. My dad is a big Western movie buff, so he likes to turn them on whenever they're on AMC.
If you can, have your dad watch it with you so he can explain all the references afterwards.
Okay.
Because he will definitely get those references.
Oh, yeah. He loves those movies. He loved them when he was growing up, so, you know.
Yeah, well, Westerns were very popular from, like, you know, the 20s up until the 70s.
Yeah. So,
and then after the 70s, for some reason, they just disappeared for the most part.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this Rango is a big tribute to all those Westerns, and, I mean, you won't get... I mean, it's a good movie, though. It's, you know, it's a decent Western. You know, it has a lot of, you know, the Western stuff, although it's been replaced slightly differently, like, you know, like, let's see, instead of, like, you know, they got the outlaws, but they're all represented by different species of animals, and it's pretty interesting how they go about that.
That does sound fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And yeah, and it's worth watching. But I'd recommend if you like watch it with like your parents or someone who knows about Western films, so you can understand more of it. But Johnny Depp did a really good job in his role, and I swear to God, if I did not know Johnny Depp was in this movie, I wouldn't have recognized it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Okay, well, I'm definitely gonna have to go and see that. Yeah. I wanted to anyway, and my boyfriend even wanted to, so that was automatically a good sign, because when does he actually agree on a movie with me?
Yeah, definitely go see Rango if you can.
Okay.
Then I saw Tangled. I saw that actually on Blu-ray at a friend's house. And it's good. It's, I mean, that's a lot. It really does make me feel like Disney's going a little bit back to their roots a bit, you know, with the princess movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Although I gotta say, this one's a little bit more humorous it's humorous in a different way than the old school Disney movies were. Because, well, you know, times have changed, people's senses of humor have changed, but it still has that kind of charm that the old Disney movies had, like, you know, Snow White and Cinderella and the like. So it's worth the watch. The animation is great. The story is good. It's kind of predictable, but it's still good. You know, it's also funny too, which a lot of the princess movies, well, I didn't see very many of them, being a guy, but sometimes the princess movies kind of get dull, but not always. But this one definitely keeps you interested the whole time.
70 feet of hair.
70 feet of glowing hair. Crazy.
And a frying pan.
But it's interesting how, yeah, and a frying pan used as a weapon. And a horse that is totally insane. But I do like how they played up on the story of Rapunzel on this. Because it's more, because Rapunzel is more than just a girl who never cut her hair.
Oh, yeah.
Her hair was never cut for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, should I tell them why?
You might want to leave that, I think. Okay. That's probably a good incentive for them to go watch. Find out why Rapunzel never cut her hair.
And also why she's stuck in the tower.
Yes.
It gets pretty bizarre at some parts, but it's one of the, it's bizarre in a good way because it's really funny to watch. It's like random bizarre. I'd love to explain why, but it's like one of those scenes. I don't want to spoil it. But it's funny. Okay, you know the scene at the bar. Yeah, remember that one?
Bar scenes are always funny.
Yeah, that's, you know, man, that one's good. And all the scenes with the horse are funny too, because the horse is just totally crazy. Tangled is well worth the watch. At least rent it just to see it, because it's well worth it.
I certainly will. Do you know if it's on Netflix yet? The Instant Play.
Whatever. Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay, is it DVD only? Okay.
Oh, that's interesting. There is another movie called Tangled, but it's a mystery. It's like a rated R mystery movie that was made in 2002. Wow, there were a bunch of movies called Tangled, and there was also a 1997 drama.
The more you know.
And, oh wow, it's also a really old 1930s horror movie. Crazy. Okay, more you know. That was random, I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Let's see. Oh, and if perhaps for the next episode, I do have a copy. I got Robin Hood on DVD from Netflix, and I have yet to watch it, but...
He's cute.
I'm hoping so. I've heard good stuff about it.
Peace.
All right, and now we're going to talk about the Academy Awards, which happened last month.
Yeah, we're
a bit late on that. You probably all have heard that Toy Story 3... got a lot of nominations in the Academy Awards. Well, let's see. It lost Best Picture to The King's Speech, but it did win Best Animated Picture, and it also won a Best Song, which was We Belong Together, played by Randy Newman.
Oh, that was a good song.
But yeah. So, yeah, Best Animated Feature, Toy Story 3 won, and it beat out The Illusionist and How to Train Your Dragon. Well, honestly, I'm not sure. I don't know. I think Toy Story 3 was a great movie. But, you know, I don't know how these people decide these things.
I couldn't.
Toy Story 3, but sometimes the Academy Awards are... I don't know. There's like, if you think about it, there's always a certain kind of movie that will definitely win an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
I personally thought Black Swan was going to win, because it was that kind of movie.
Yeah.
I guess it deserved it. Although I must say it was probably a very close call between that and How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, definitely. I really can't find fault in either Toy Story 3 or How to Train Your Dragon. They were both just so good. I can't disagree with Toy Story 3 winning at all, but at the same time, I kind of wish it had been How to Train Your Dragon. But
yeah, same here.
I understand.
They're both equally good movies, but I don't know. I don't think I could have ever chosen between the two.
Yeah.
I would have eventually just ended up rolling a die or something like that.
Yep. It's like anything above 10, Toy Story. Anything below 10, How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, or like even numbers, Toy Story, odd number, How to Train Your Dragon.
Yep.
The best animated short film. Honestly, I don't know any of these. But if you know any of these, best animated short film, the winner of that one was The Lost Thing, which was made by Andrew Ruhlman and Xiao Tan.
I haven't heard of that one.
I don't know. It's some kind of picture book in 2000.
Huh.
And adapted to a 15-minute animated short film. I don't know. I don't know. Although, looks like Toy Story 3 was also an adapted screenplay. It was nominated for Best Writing of Adapted Screenplay.
Huh.
I guess they considered that an adaptation based on Toy Story and Toy Story 2.
I guess so.
I mean, that's what it says. Toy Story 3, characters based on Toy Story and Toy Story 2. I don't know how they choose these things. So, We Belong Together. That was a good song. I remember I See the Light was a good song, too. But, I don't know. I haven't heard the other ones, though.
I haven't really either.
Can't say it.
Oh, well.
But, yeah, that's about all I have to say. Because there wasn't a whole lot of... There isn't a whole lot we can say about the animated industry and the Oscars, because they're usually not represented too highly, but...
Oh, well.
But still, it's a, another animated film was nominated for Best Picture, so that's a good sign that they're getting recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first time an animated picture was nominated for Best Picture was 1990 with Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And last year with Up. And now with Toy Story 3.
We're getting closer.
Was it last year with Up?
Yeah.
Getting closer.
Yeah, we're getting closer. Alrighty. So let's start talking about some of our animation source projects. I believe Skull wanted to mention something about a Tailspin project.
Yeah, actually this has been heavily promoted on Tailspin Source. It's the Tailspin Virtual Season. It's been...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a project on Tailspin Source that's been active pretty much since the site began. It's actually headed by Steve himself, who is, of course, the creator and head webmaster of Animation Source. Tailspin Virtual Season is basically a spin-off of the Tailspin television series. It's supposed to be a continuation. so far, it hasn't really gotten that far, but basically a whole lot of people are involved in it. Let me see. A list that Steet has created. Aku, Archip, Mad Dog, Philogamy, Jer, Rocks Today, and Steet are the ones who are heading the project. They've got a whole lot of stuff so far. They've got conception art. They even have a little bit of animation voices, background music. They've got everything Kazuntite, and
sorry.
They are they got everything Tailspin related. It looks terrific. They're looking for a whole lot more help, animators specifically. They're just looking for any kind of help they can get. So if you want to help out with that, you can contact any of those people I just mentioned. The easiest way would just post a message on the Tailspin chat box saying, I want to join the Tailspin Virtual Season Project. How can I do it? And more than likely, somebody's going to see that and respond, tell you how you can get involved. I don't know if I'll get involved, but I'm definitely going to be on top of everything news-wise. So it really looks like a great project. I can't wait to see how it'll turn out.
And moving right along, there are quite a few things coming up this year, but we've chosen to talk about one thing way in the future and a couple more things that are at least a little closer, and I'm sure you've heard of at least most of them.
By them, we mean movies.
Yes, movies, and yeah. So, first on the agenda is something that is not coming to the screen until summer of 2012. It is the animated series Tron Uprising, and it should be airing on Disney XD. If anybody has actually gotten the newest Tron movie, which is not animated, but for the sake of Tron Uprising, I have to mention it, there is actually a preview for the series on the Tron Legacy DVD. Tron Uprising will feature a fairly new cast of characters, and it's supposed to be set between the original Tron film and Tron Legacy, though with the synopsis I'm looking at here, it's almost a little weird. Elijah Wood is set to play Beck, the main protagonist, and he's supposed to be a program who will eventually take Tron's place or be the new Tron.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, and again, this is supposed to be between Tron and Tron Legacy, so again, kind of strange. And apparently, they start talking about Clue, who is in both the first and the second movie, and Clue 2, which I guess they're referring to Clue 2 as the newest Clue in the second movie? Which, again, weird, because they didn't do that in this movie. And
So we got Clue and Clue 2. Whatever happened to Blue's Clues?
Nice.
Anyway.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
So, yeah, and then we've got the Kevin Flynn will be making an appearance like he does in the movie, and Tron will, of course, be in the animated series. And so far, the cast consists of Elijah Wood as Beck, Emmanuel, I have no idea how to pronounce his name, as Paige, Mandy Moore as Mara, Paul Rubens as Pavel, Nate Cordry as Zed, Lance Henriksen as Tesler, Reginald Vell Johnson as Abel, Bruce. Oh, you can say that one. Swords. I don't know how to say his last name.
Bruce Boxlight.
Oh, Bruce Boxlightner.
Yeah, okay. As Tron, who also played Tron in the original movie and in the voice of Tron in the newest movie. And Fred. As Clue 2! Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have as far as Tron Uprising. It looks kind of interesting, but I'm not really sure about it yet. So, we'll see. And then there are two new Pokemon movies coming up. Would you like to tell us about those, Skull?
Yeah, it's actually two versions of the same movie. You know how there are two Pokemon versions, usually. The most recent ones are Black and White, before that were Diamond, Pearl, Ruby, Sapphire, stuff like that. Well, this is going to be two different versions of the same film. The first one is called Victini and the White Hero Reshiram, and the second one is called Victini and the Black Hero Zekrom. I don't know how they're going to be released in America, but in Japan, what's going to happen is the northern half of Japan is going to get the White Hero Reshiram film, and the southern half of Japan is going to get the Black Hero Zekrom film. Because they represent yin and yang, and white is on the top of the yin-yang, and black is on the bottom, so that's what that's all about. The movie follows Ash Ketchum, who is arguably the most famous Pokemon trainer ever, and his new friend Cyrus.
And yet people still don't know him in this series. gotta love that continuity. Sorry.
It's like he's like James Bond, you know, it's like everyone knows who he is, but yet no one knows who he is.
Ash Ketchum as James Bond.
That's a scary, scary thought. That's a scary thought.
Yeah.
he would suck at that.
Anyway, continue on.
So, and he's still 10 years old, too. What's that?
Yeah.
He's still 10 after 14 years. Anyway.
Yeah, not even going to talk about that.
The movies follow Ash Ketchum along with Pikachu, arguably the most known Pokemon ever, while we're on that subject, and his new friends Iris and Cylon as they arrive in Aimed Oak, a village in Unova that is the ancestral home of the people of the Earth. Long ago, Aimed Oak was the seat of power for the kingdom of the people of the Earth. It has since fallen into the decline, but the castle called the Earth's Sword remains. During a battle tournament held for the village's harvest festival, Ash befriends Victini, a rare Pokemon that inhibits Ironwood. Though cowardly, Victini is able to share its strange power with those it likes. Not everything is peaceful, however. Dread Grangil, a descendant of the people of the Earth, intends to resurrect the glory of his people's fallen kingdom. To do so, he plans to use Victini to reactivate the Earth's Sword. And from there on, that's where the movies begin to differ. In the White Hero movie, Dread Grangil tries to awaken Reshiram, who is a dragon Pokemon that has been sleeping for hundreds of years. It tries to wake up Reshiram to activate the Earth's Sword and use Reshiram as a slave, whereas in the Black film it's the same situation, only with Zekrom, who hasn't been sleeping for 100 years but has simply been missing for 100 years. The movies differ between Pokemon too. In the White Hero, Dread Grangil owns a Gothitelle, which is a interesting Pokemon, and in the Black Hero he owns a Rhyneculus. I won't go into these new Pokemon's details, but let's just say the movies differ more than just starring two different Pokemon. There are a whole lot of different changes. Dread Grangil even has different outfits in each version. Yeah, if you want to see a preview of the movie, just go to Pokemon-movie.jp and it'll automatically start playing, so you don't need to know any Japanese. Yeah, it looks like a terrific film. I've been following the Black and White series, which is the newest Pokemon series, for a while, and I'm really looking forward to seeing these films. Again, I don't know how they'll premiere in America. I heard that they're going to try to premiere both movies at the same time, the exact same time slot, just on different channels, so people are forced to watch one or the other. So, but I don't know how that's going to work. But I'm looking forward to seeing both of them. I'm hoping that I'll be able to see them in the original Japanese before they get to America, but we'll just have to see.
I really don't see the point in making two versions of the same movie.
It's probably to make a change of pace, but more than likely it's just a marketing scheme.
It probably is a marketing scheme. I'm almost thinking it's kind of trying to justify the two different versions of each game other than, you know, money making. Mm-hmm. But, whatever.
Because it's 60% of the films are the exact same, but people are going to have to pay 100% twice to see 140% difference. So.
Yep.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm a huge fan of Pokemon, so I really don't care having to see the same movie twice. I love it, so.
Yeah. I'll let you watch it first and then decide if I feel like it.
Alrighty.
Sounds good. Anyway. Yeah.
So that is the two Victini movies. Victini and the Black Hero Zekrom, and Victini and the White Hero Reshiram.
Alrighty. So, moving right along into stuff that you guys are probably more familiar with, Rio is coming out in 3 days on April 15th. In case you've been living under a rock, Rio is the movie about the two really rare birds. They almost look like hyacinth macaws, but I know they're not supposed to be. Yes. But they're
something a lot rarer.
Yeah, it was something way rare. Like, they're the only two left in the world. And there's some to do, and they end up flying around, like, stuck together for a little while in the wild. It looked really charming. I mean, other than kind of having a similar plot beginning to a lot of movies, it looked charming. I will admit it. I really want to go see it.
Definitely.
They had some good jokes in the preview that I saw, and you know what? You guys should quit being judgmental. Go watch previews. You'll see. You'll see what I mean. You will see. Mark my words.
Okay.
You will see.
You will see.
Trust in IU. Even if she's not on Code Red right now.
Do what I say.
Or suffer the wrath of My Little Pony. What?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, has anyone seen Hop yet?
Not yet.
Hop. I want to! Sort of. After seeing the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm beginning to wonder.
I don't know.
Well, okay, the critics, from what I understand, the critics hate it, but the people who generally see it usually liked it, unless they're really, really, really cynical. But I don't know.
So, kind of similar to the Chronicles of Narnia, I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
According to Rotten Tomatoes, literally it got a 50% rating, but according to the fans, it was 92%, I think.
With Hop, it's like it's got a 23% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it says 58% of the people liked it. So. Okay.
Well, have you seen it?
No, I thought about it. You know, it just is like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think I'll see it sometime. Maybe I'll rent it. But,
okay.
I'd rather spend $1 at Redbox than $8 at the theater. Just on being on the safe side.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe I'll see it. Rio's actually in theaters right now, isn't it?
No, it's going to be in theaters in 3 days.
Yeah, it'll be Friday.
Anyway, so yes. Moving on from Hop. Hoodwinked 2, Hood vs. Evil, April 29th.
I did not even know they were making a Hoodwinked 2.
I don't really have any comments on this. I didn't see the first one, didn't want to. Don't really want to see this one.
The first one looks...
The first one looked like they were probably doing things that they shouldn't have been doing.
They were under the influence of illegal substances.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry if we have offended anybody who is a super, super big fan of Hoodwinked, but I could not take that seriously.
The trailer...
I couldn't if I tried. I don't know.
So I saw the first one. I enjoyed it. Saw the trailer for a second one. I don't think I like it at all. Namely because two of the biggest stars of the original film, Anne Hathaway and Jim Belushi, aren't reprising their roles. They're being replaced by Hayden Panettiere and Patrick Warburton.
Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah. So. She played the Alpha in Alpha and Omega.
Yeah, I know who she is.
That's about all I remember. But second film, I don't really think I like it, to be honest.
Like I said, I'm sorry if I've offended anybody by saying that I just did not like the first one, or did not think I was going to like it. I did not like the preview I saw of it, so I did not go see it. But that's just the way it is. It did not look interesting. This one, if I didn't like the first one, or I didn't think that I would like the first one, I'm probably not going to go see it either. So have fun if you really, really like it, but yeah.
The first one looked like... I don't even know. The first one looked kind of...
Swords, you should probably stop. Yeah. Anyway, so. Kung Fu Panda 2 comes out May the 27th, and I personally have to say I'm excited because I really loved the first one. I don't know why, but I do. I did. It was amazing. Jack Black was in it.
Yeah.
Stifu, everyone.
And plus, I liked how they went all philosophical at the very end, you know, with the scroll.
Yes.
By the way, spoilers if anyone hasn't seen the first one already. Skip ahead like a minute or two. I was gonna say, like, with the whole one, he looks at the scroll and it's just reflective material on it, and he sees himself.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that's pretty deep, you know?
It was. It really was.
It's like, I didn't expect it to go there, but it did, and it did it really well.
Oogway for the win. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Crazy yeah. Turtle! Anyhow.
Yay, Kung Fu Panda 2!
Yes!
Also, okay. It's kind of backwards, but now I guess we're gonna go to some of the stuff that's going on right now, which Hop... We talked about Hop already, but yeah, Hop is in theaters, so yeah, woohoo. my thing is coming up. So, if you don't like My Little Pony, or if you don't like if you know what, if you're gonna hate, you should
skip ahead. Over it.
You should skip ahead about 5 minutes because I'm gonna talk about My Little Pony.
I'm gonna say if you hate, get over it. My Little Pony rocks.
Yeah. So, and just to clarify, this is not exactly the same My Little Pony from the 80s, so don't freak out. Everybody knows, or I'm sure most people know, that Hasbro has a toy line out called My Little Pony, and there's these little, like, multicolored ponies, and they have hair that you can brush. And... Anyway, I'm a gigantic 5-year-old Stifu. So, Hasbro... back in the day, made a show about the toy line My Little Pony, and it started out with a movie and another series, and then another series after that, and then the really bad G3 series, which no one talks about. And just recently, they renewed the toy line again, and they actually started out a new animated series because of it, and to promote it. Well, what they didn't expect... I don't know if they expected it or not, but they hired Lauren Faust to do this series, who is the wife of Craig McCracken. Now, if you don't have any idea what I'm talking about with those two names, let me go ahead and say that Craig McCracken is a pretty notable name in the animation world. He is an animator. He was the creator of... most recently, the Powerpuff Girls and Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. Oh, and also Chowder. I'm not a big fan of Chowder, but I love Foster's and I love the Powerpuff Girls. He also was the director of Dexter's Laboratory, the cartoon portions of Dumb and Dumber, the What a Cartoon thing from back in the early 90s, and the art director of Two Stupid Dogs. So hopefully some of that, you know, rung a bell with some of the older animation buffs.
Yes.
You know?
Dexter's Lab was like my show. Back
I know, Dexter's Lab was awesome.
Yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, well his wife...
watch Cartoon Network.
Yeah, his wife, Lauren Faust, is also big into animation and everything, and she worked on a lot of those same projects. Oldest to newest, she actually was the animator for Sawyer on Cats Don't Dance... She was an animator on Quest for Camelot, The Iron Giant, and she was a writer for the Powerpuff Girls movie. And then she also did a lot of the walk cycles for Codename Kids Next Door. She also did one of the episodes. She was a writer, director, and some other stuff, along with her husband on the Powerpuff Girls and on Foster's. Yeah, needless to say, she's done some pretty big stuff that has gotten recognized. Well,
sounds like it.
Yeah. So, on October 10th of last year, Hasbro, you know, allowed it to start airing on the... allowed the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic series, the newest series, to start airing on The Hub. It's a TV network that a lot of people don't get, and actually, I didn't start getting it until after spring break, which was kind of weird because I'm not supposed to have it, but go figure.
We won't tell anyone.
Lovely, lovely college cable. But so some people have it. If you don't have it, don't feel bad. A whole lot of people don't have it. Needless to say, like with somebody as wonderful as Lauren Faust writing it and working on it and everything, it is so much better than the 80s series. Like, if you ever watched the 80s series and you didn't like it, and you were kind of bummed about it, or maybe even if you weren't bummed about it, you should definitely give My Little Pony: Friendship Is Magic a try. And I'm totally serious here. I know a lot of people will loll about, you know, My Little Pony. Even the people at 4chan like it. Like, for series, like it. They don't just do it to troll. They really do like it. I promise. But yeah, so they really do like it, and there is a reason for it. And I know I'm kind of going on a little bit, but...
I have noticed that the furry fandom's been picking up on it recently, too. So yeah. I'm seeing a lot of fan art, and I'm seeing a lot of fan characters of the show, and I'm like, wait, was there suddenly a wave of nostalgia for My Little Pony?
Oh, no.
And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, no, they came out with a new My Little Pony. I was like, oh, that must be why.
Mm-hmm.
Spontaneous nostalgia? And I was like, oh, wait, no, it's a new show.
But yeah, so...
I was just going to say, I've been doing some quick research. It's not uncommon for My Little Pony costumes to go for as much as $170 on eBay, so that just tells you.
4chan, like, /B/CO, they're all over My Little Pony. Like, it actually got banned for a while. The moderators got tired of seeing pony posts. It was funny.
Pony!
The meme base has picked it up. Ponies have become part of meme base. It's all over, and it's getting bigger by the day.
I didn't know you were one to go to 4chan.
I don't. That's the thing. But I know about it because I know people.
Oh, you just know other people who do?
I know people who do. I know on one of the big fan sites, Equestria Daily, there are people who are on at B and CO who go there and everything. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, so
I'm on F for Affinity a lot, and there's tons of My Little Pony fan art out there, and it just suddenly exploded one day, and now I know why.
Yeah,
why? They aren't exploded.
Well, just an explosion of ponies. Insane, but yeah.
So,
but
yeah,
it's like these people really like this stuff, I guess, and I guess there must be something to it that I never would have thought could be in what I perceived originally to be an unbelievably girly show.
Well, yeah, it's pretty girly, but they've... It's, like I said, it's way different from the 80s version. There are a lot of boys who openly like it. A lot of straight boys who openly like it.
Glad you added that.
It's wonderful. Yeah, I promise. If you doubt me, please, 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 please go watch it and see for yourself.
I will see if it's on Hulu or something. And see if I can...
I don't know about Hulu. It is the most important thing I was going to say. Because a lot of people do not get the hub, Hasbro is 100% okay with it being on YouTube.
Oh, sweet.
One account did get banned for it, but that was due to a troll, actually. Because Hasbro, like I said, is okay with it. Lauren Faust is okay with it. She has said on her DeviantArt page repeatedly that she is okay with it being on YouTube, and she actually linked in her journal to... I'm not sure if it's her account, but I think it's her account. It's definitely an account that she knows about that has all of the episodes on it and everything, you know, so that people can watch it. So
that's nice. That's nice.
Go to YouTube. It's Pensive Pony, PENSIVE Pony, all one word. Search for that channel. They're all there. Just start at the bottom and work your way up.
Okay.
The first season is going to be coming to a close here in a couple of weeks, and Hasbro has okayed a second season. Like, they've already set it up and they're ready to go. So there is going to be a second season. And I'm super excited because I'm spazzy like that. I'm done.
Okay.
My Little Pony. I'll definitely watch one of these episodes because it's like, okay, might as well see what the big fuss is about, so I'll see what it's like.
It'll probably get what you asked for.
You shut up, Skull. You're going to like those ponies, too. I'll make sure of it.
That will kill me, so...
Actually, it would kill me because on a scale of 1 to 10, I am allergic to horses. I'm a 15 with horses.
But these are ponies, they're not horses.
I know, but... yeah, I know.
See,
anyway.
Your argument is invalid. I win. Go watch.
Okay. Everyone, go watch My Little Pony right now.
Or die.
Or finish watching Sourcecast. Your choice.
So yeah, now that I'm done. Animation Source Awards! Did you want to say anything more about the Academy Awards?
Me?
No. Yes, you.
Only that I am very satisfied with all the winners. I wish Toy Story 3 had won Best Picture, but The King's Speech is a terrific film. It definitely deserved it. So.
Okay.
That's about it.
Yeah. And then we can just edit that part in to where Swords and I talked about the Academy Awards.
Twice.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, the Animation Source Awards. We're a little late on this. Again, sorry. The nominees were posted, and do we want to read those off, or no? Or do we want to be lazy and not?
It's not that old. It shouldn't be that far back.
Okay. So, we're going to read off the nominees. Even though, you know, you guys can't vote for them anymore, because the votes are already in, so...
Actually, Kane told me to edit that news post, so... You can still vote. Yay.
Oh, okay, never mind. He extended the time. You can vote. I'm wrong. Do we have a date on when it's supposed to be done?
Yes. No.
No? Okay. So...
Maybe so.
The winners will be announced when enough votes have gone into the judges. That's all Kane told me. So
okay, so everybody, please send in some
votes.
Just
to stop hearing us listen.
You know, yeah.
Just to stop hearing us talk about this, just send in your vote.
yeah, so I'm the fan image vote, so if you have somebody whose fan images you really like and they're a nominee, send them my way.
And the nominees are... Drumroll. Okay. For the General Awards, Den 77 for the Newbie Award, an auto win. Sasky Italian Wolf for the...
Okay, well...
Or, what?
Is it an... Oh, okay, never mind. Sorry. Sasky Italian Wolf for the Activity Award.
Nava the Wise for the Interesting Award. The Drifter for the LOL Award. UK Bandcat, Rabbit, and Deathhound for the Helper Award. And Draco for the Mod Award.
Oh.
All of these are auto wins except for the Helper Award. So, for the General Awards, the judge is Zuko the Cat. So, if you have a favorite, send in your vote to Zuko.
Yes.
The Fan Art Award nominees. For Baltosaurus... Angel Dreamer, Skada, Zuko the Cat, Nyx's Nightmare, Alpine Shark, Jet, Wolfia Waska 97, and Skip. What kind of name is that?
I don't know. For other source number one, I don't know what that's about anyway. Kanu TGL, Egg.cm, Hazel Cat, Sasuke Italian Wolf, you. Not you, but why you? Balto Fan 202, vote for them. Analu and Bombabel.
Sorry if we're totally butchering your names, guys.
for other source number two, Ibanez Angel, Din 77, Spirit Stallion Forever, so I'm guessing this is Spirit Source, Equinus, Tweedbug, Beauty Husky, Emmy, and Hecate.
For the fanfic awards on Balto Source, we have The Drifter, Skull, Ayu the White Wolf, Moki Hunter, and that's it.
yeah. And that's kind of, on behalf of everyone, I'd like to say thanks for getting nominated. Now just vote.
Yeah.
So.
What he means is.
Did I say that?
Anyway. For Spirit Source, Sierra and Spirit Number One Fan.
For the other sources, Ansem and Gemma Wolf, and a special recognition to Jersey County.
Yes. And for the Image Awards, which I'm the judge of, what did he do as far as this layout? So, like, nobody really specified any sources, so I'm just gonna read them all out at once because they're. Yeah, anyway. Hecate, Akira, period. Moki Hunter, Ibanez Angel, Roey Doberwolf, Tweedbug, Destiny Wolf, Laura, and Jordan, period.
For the video awards, Ice Husky and Sakujo. Music awards have been canceled, so nothing on that, because only one person was nominated. Gamebook awards, Da Seal, Gentle Wolf, and Gimma Wolf. And for the characters awards, Umbaltosaurus, Goddess Blossom, and Mini Fashion. And on other sources, D, Goddess of the Wolves, and Amazingly Rusty the Fox.
Yay, Rusty!
Sweet.
Alright, so, vote. Because we said so.
The judges for each category. For the general awards, it's Zuko the Cat. For the fan art awards, it's Emily123. For the fanfic awards, it's Dragon Tamer. For the image awards, it's Anaya Kylestis. Videos awards is Cobaltier. Gamebook Awards is Silverpaw, and Character Awards is Sardonyx.
Yeah, so once again, go vote.
Yes, go vote. And now Dragon Tamer will give his plugged-in review on The Secret of Nim.
Why did he never tell me about any of you? Why?
To answer that, I must tell you about Nim.
In The Secret of Nim, a mouse mom named Mrs. Brisby finds herself in a race against time and the farmer's plow to save her home and the life of her bedridden son, Timmy, from certain destruction. As the dangers of a larger-than-life world seem to line up for their turn at taking her down, she is forced to tap the unlikeliest resources and find allies in the strangest of places, none stranger than the farm's mysterious rats who somehow knew her late husband, Jonathan. This Don Bluth original places a great deal of emphasis on courage, integrity, and family bonds, with an additional unstated moral about not judging by appearances. It's magical without a great deal of mysticism and has all the hallmarks Don Bluth's movies were famous for. Unfortunately, one of those hallmarks is a level of violence and peril which may upset some of the younger viewers or their parents. So I'm going to have to knock this fun but dark movie down to only 3 magic stones out of 5 for family friendliness. To find out more about classic animated movies, stay tuned to us here on SourceCast. And for reviews of new releases in theaters, visit PluggedInOnline.org. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Dragon Tamer.
And announcing, SourceCast Episode 4 now has over 200 downloads!
Hey!
That's so awesome.
It is. Thank you. We love you. We're glad you love us, even though we're lame and corny.
Well, just to let everyone know who has bad memory, episode 4 was entitled Losing a Son, Gaining a Daughter. Wait.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah.
It's really special to me because that's the episode when I first joined SourceCast. Episode 4 has 200 downloads. Most of the other episodes have over 100, some over 150, so Sourcecast is right now one of the most popular podcasts hosted by animation fan sites, so we're really excited about that. Swords, what are your opinions about this?
Well, 200 downloads, man, that's... you come a long way.
Yep.
You know, from the way back when we started, and I'm glad we're all a part of this, because it's fun, you know. I enjoy doing this. It's a nice way to get together with people, and it's, you know, and broadcast, and we're broadcasting to other people, you know. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to talk about all the stuff we enjoy talking about, like movies and stuff like that. So that's always fun.
Yep, and I'm especially glad that Sourcecast has branched onto other things besides just the talk, for example, interviewing different animation sourcers. All I can say to that is tell all your friends about us.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mailbag.
Yeah, that too. That's always useful.
Be the mailbag, blarg it, blarg.
Yeah.
Interest you right now, but
feed it.
Feed.
It's hungry. It'll eat you.
It will.
Otherwise. So now we're gonna do a quick review of Dakota's Gift by RedWolf03. This was supposed to have been done in the winter months, specifically because it's Christmas-oriented, but we're doing it now, so suck it.
Deal with it.
Yeah. So, Skull, why don't you start and lead the discussion?
Okay. So Dakota's Gift follows... You can give me a quick second, I completely forgot.
You just read it!
I know!
But I've
slept since then.
I'll start then. It follows one of Balto and Jenna's fan children named Dakota. And she apparently is quite an amazing singer, but since basically Alu left, since Alu was there and ended up interrupting a moment between she and Balto, she hasn't really felt like singing anymore.
Yeah, she really hates Balto because she feels like Balto's picking favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so she ends up basically hiding this wonderful gift from the world until she is discovered by when she accidentally starts singing while Jenna, Saba, Dixie, and Sylvie are practicing Christmas carols for the big Christmas celebration.
Is there a voice range above soprano? Because I think Dixie would fit that part perfectly.
I don't know.
Let me check.
I don't think so.
Media time.
Let's just say, Dixie...
Dakota is found out by Jenna, who tries to persuade her to not be ashamed of it, and...
Jenna and Saba.
And Saba, yeah. They try to persuade her to sing in front of Balto. They know that Balto would really appreciate it, so...
Yes. But she really just, at first she just really can't get over the fact that, you know, he picked Alu over her. And then, you know, like all stories, there's this turning point, and she kind of starts to realize that maybe she doesn't hate him as much as she thinks that she does. And then Saba ends up pulling her up on stage and forcing her to try and sing.
And she just can't resist.
Yep, so yep. She sees it as her chance to prove that she is as good as Alu, and she sings, and Balto goes and tells her that he loves her just as much as he loved Alu. He just needed to give Alu more attention, because she was needy.
Okay.
She's Alu. I think we all know what I'm trying to get at there. Anyway, Alu is needy. Then Jenna you know, right after, at the worst time, that when Dakota has reconciled with Balto, she drops the bombshell that she's preggers again. Mm-hmm. And at first Dakota's a little, you know, wary about it naturally, and then Balto is like, you know, I love all of my children equally, and just because I have more kids doesn't mean that I'm not going to love you. So then it's all happy, and, you know, Merry Christmas. So, yay!
Merry Christmas in April.
In April.
Well, it's Christmas time in the South Hemisphere.
We should have done this in July.
To all of our Australian listeners, Merry Christmas in April.
Yes. Well, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
Thought it was short, but right to the point.
Yeah, I really liked the description. It was good. I don't really have a whole lot to say, but other than it was good. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Same here. It was good, but it was good. But, you know, that's about all I can really say about it, though, because, you know, summary described it pretty much really well. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Cool.
So, that's about all we have to say about Dakota's Gift from Red Wolf 03.
Good job.
Be sure to go and read it, preferably in the winter months. But.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the mailbag.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up.
Yes.
Yep.
So, what do we have in the mailbag?
Well, I'm happy to announce we have something!
And we can!
Yay!
That's a first.
Yeah.
Alright,
so
read it.
The following is a message from For What It's Worth. Hi, Sourcecasters. My name is For What It's Worth. I love listening to your episodes. Love you, Skoblaka. Anyway, I was thinking, for Sourcecast, you guys should talk about Japanese anime. It is animation, after all, and there should be at least some talk about anime. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. See ya. P.S. You need more episodes.
Yeah.
Well, so, we would agree that we need more episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
Anime is kind of a touchy subject on Animation Source. Ha, go figure.
Yeah.
Of course, we are talking about Pokemon and My Little Pony. Yeah. But
we are talking about expanding to do more, like, episodic things. So we will definitely consider your suggestion.
Yeah, I'd watched a couple animes recently. And, you know, I don't know, we could probably talk, we could talk about it. We could, perhaps.
Definitely, maybe.
Yeah. We will definitely be considering that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And after all, we did a review of Zoroark, Astro Revolutions, and My Little Pony in this episode, so I guess we're one step ahead of you as it is. And then there was Batman that we reviewed last episode, which was just me and Quartz. So that's all we have for the mailbag.
Please send us more stuff. We'd love to get stuff from the mailbag.
Yes.
Yep. Our old mailbag question is part of the Lost episode, so
I guess
we're just going to have to just say it all over again. And probably think of it.
It doesn't matter. Nobody got the old mailbag question.
Yeah.
So
the old mailbag question was, what should the new mailbag question be?
Lol. But yeah, let's see. The new mailbag question is, what's the new mailbag question, Swords?
Let's see. There's a question. The first person who asked us the question, should we be reviewing anime?
Yeah, do you want to hear us talk about anime, or do you think that...
Yeah.
Yes, no, why, or why not? There you go.
And which anime?
Yeah, which anime would you like to see us review?
Yep.
And I guess don't do the Pokemon, because we've already been talking about that. So.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Yeah, anime, let us know. We're definitely open to the possibility, and we'd like to know what you would think. So you know if that's something all you guys want to hear.
Yep. So, send us mail. Or else.
For sure. Feed the mailbag. Blarg, blarg.
Yep. Feed the mailbag. Sourcecast@gmail.com. or that email form on our form thingy-bob, you know. Or if you feel really lazy, just catch one of us randomly and ask a question, and we'll put it in here. So, thanks for listening. You can find us on my podcast at sourcecast.mypodcast.com. You can search for us on iTunes. We are, to my knowledge, still the only clean one on there, and not to mention you can see our logo. Look for us on YouTube.
We're the one under the Kids and Family genre.
Yeah. Look for us on YouTube. Our channel is The Sourcecast. Send an email to sourcecast@gmail.com, or if you're really desperate to find us, we're actually on Google now. Check it out. I think we're like the fourth link as far as the My Podcast host.
I'll look it up right
website.
Now.
So you can Google Sourcecast. I think we're the fourth link. It's the Sourcecast at
mypodcast.com. We are number five now.
Number five?
So, number
four
five.
Or five. It was something like that. So, yeah. Check it.
All right. Please do. And, yeah.
So, I'm an IU.
And I'm Swords.
And I am Skull.
Peace.
Take care, guys.
Now we are going to have a special review of Pokemon, Zoroark Master of Illusions. Swords won't be joining us for this, it'll just be me and Anai, but thankfully we got Rusty here. So I guess you could say that all four of us got into this episode. Hi, Rusty.
Hey, party people. Sorry, that's a quote from a different podcast, but still.
So.
So I see. You're turning on us now?
No.
Uh-huh. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, just a brief overview. Zoroark Master of Illusions premiered in the United States on February 5, 2011, although it did premiere in Japan in June 2010. But, anyway, I was the first to see it, but that's just because I don't have a life, so.
That's true. That's very true.
It is.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Well, what were you going to say?
Well, first of all, I was going to say, when the heck are we going to actually get a DVD release in the United States? I mean, we still don't have the previous movie.
We do now.
What I think is funny is that they, instead of doing a DVD release, they put it on cable first. Which is weird, because typically the DVD comes out, and then you have to wait a year, and then it's on cable.
Well, right. Yeah, so Arceus and the Jewel of Life came to DVD on February 1st. I have it myself.
Right. But how long was that before?
Oh, man.
Wasn't that like a year?
That was a huge fail. That was 14 months.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't take that long for Zoroark to get onto DVD for us.
Let's hope not, because this is a good film.
Absolutely. Actually, I would have to say, right off the bat, at the top of this review, that Pokemon's Zoroark Master of Illusions is probably the best Pokemon movie since I don't know when. A while. It's actually really entertaining. I was just going to say that off the top right now.
Since like the first one?
I guess so. I don't know. I hardly remember the other movies.
It's definitely in my top five. Probably my top three. I say ladies first. And Ayu, why don't you give us your review?
And after all the jokes of Skull being a girl too.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus there. Anyway, yeah, so I thought it was pretty good for a Pokemon movie. Not typically one to watch them, but I found myself bored one evening, and it was on, and it was after work during the summer, so I thought, eh, why not? And I watched it, not the summer, the winter. I'm getting my months mixed up here. Anyway, it was after work, it was late at night, I was bored. So I watched it, and it was alright. I actually didn't hate it like I thought I was going to.
You thought you were going to hate it?
Where's your faith, child?
Nah, I can see, to be honest, I can really see her point as to kind of, like almost predicting to not enjoy it as much as you would want to.
Oh, yeah.
Just considering the fact, I don't know how drawn out the Pokemon series is as far as its anime and the movies go. But I think kind of like...
The answer to that question with one word. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm stealing the baton, which I am. But
baton pass.
Pokemon joke. No, what I think it's interesting with this movie is that kind of how like the fifth generation, which is Pokemon Black and White, is almost a restart or redefining the
reboot.
A reboot of the series. I think this movie kind of plays into that because I can't really remember how much like any of the previous Pokemon movies that actually had such dark themes that the Zoroark movie had.
Which is refreshing because, again, there's only so much, you know, pooping out rainbows you can take, other than, you know, if you're watching My Little Pony.
Right.
In that case, you know. You want to see pooping out rainbows every 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, but that's just like, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, it's like the actual games, the fifth generation games, which seem to do the same thing. So, I don't know if they actually did that on purpose or not, but I enjoyed it. I like the whole idea.
Yes.
Now, as far as the movie goes, I don't know, it seems with every other Pokemon movie, it was kind of choppy as far as the story flow and how the characters interact with each other in the current situation. I don't know, I can't really put my finger quite on it with this movie, but it seemed like the story did flow from one situation to another. Kind of keep things going. I feel like I'm really redundant.
Well, that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah,
I'm not being helpful, I'm sorry.
Don't worry, we can give you, it's late for you, Edmund.
And, yeah. And you had a late night last night, too.
Mm-hmm.
And an early morning. You were up before I was, and I was up at 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was up at 6:30, and I didn't like it.
Okay.
So, I guess what's left? Skull, you still have to say a few words, I guess, huh?
Oh, I have plenty to say. I could go on for hours, but I guess I better shorten it for the sake of timing.
At the end, so that we don't push you.
Just don't fire me. I'm your editor.
No, we're not going to fire you.
Yay. Oh, okay. So long as
it's
not
that important. Did I show you that video? This is totally off topic, but I have to ask it right now.
Alright.
Did I show you that video?
Which one?
Cat. With the talking cat.
Yeah, you showed me, yeah.
There's Steve? Store. You didn't watch all of them, never mind. Points to anybody in the audience who got that and laughed.
Okay.
So we'll keep that in.
Yeah. So, I'll keep that in. For those
of... everybody just lost the game.
Yes!
Dang it! I'm so close! Who haven't seen Zoroark, Master of Illusions, The movie follows Ash, Don, and Brock, along with their Pokemon friends, as they try to help a new Pokemon called Zorua reunite with its Mima. Its Mima, who's actually a Zoroark, who has been captured by a businessman named Greens Kodai, is sent throughout Crown City to trick the people into fleeing the city by turning into the legendary beast Raikou, Entei, and Suicune. This is Kodai's attempt to try to empty the city so that he can personally look for a ripple of time, which gives him the ability to see into the future. And so, as the movie progresses, Ash, Don, and Brock have to rely on Zorua and their new friends. They need to find Kodai and exploit his plot and try to free Zoroark from his clutches.
A.K.A. Very Japanese story. Come on, it's Japanese anime. You kind of expect it.
Well, that's...
Yeah, you just fail.
That is true.
But that's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So, yeah.
My personal review for this film. First of all, I've seen the movie in both the original Japanese and in English. The American English version cut out the first 20 minutes of the film for time constraints, and I'm extremely bugged about that. Even though it wasn't necessary to apply, it still helped out a whole lot. For example, it showed Zorua escaping from Kodai and flying into Crown City to begin with, which isn't shown in the American version, but like I said.
What I want to know is how it flew.
It turned into a skip loom and just floated.
That doesn't make... Okay, never mind.
Okay, I'll link you to...
No, it just doesn't make sense.
Zorua has the ability to change into other Pokemon, so it's just...
No, I know that, but it doesn't have the ability to copy their attacks.
Well...
Anything. It just can look like them.
Yeah, well, anyway. So I'm extremely bugged...
They're breaking their own continuity.
I am extremely bugged for Cartoon Network. Apologies for Pokemon International. They actually sued Cartoon Network over cutting the first 20 minutes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so... first of all, yeah, I'm bugged at Cartoon Network for doing that. Even though it wasn't necessary to the plot, it still helped out with the story a whole lot. And I think it would have helped out with the confusion a little bit. It also showed Ash, Don, and Brock actually deciding to go to Crown City to the Pokemon Bakker tournament to begin with. But
another question. What the crap is Pokemon Bakker?
If they had aired the first 20 minutes, you would know. There's really no real way to explain it.
That's stupid.
There are basically two teams with three Pokemon each, and they're trying to... It's kind of like soccer, except the goal is floating up in the air and constantly changing positions. So that's the...
That sounded kind of dirty.
Shut up.
Goodness. See, this is what happens when we're recording late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or early in the morning, whichever.
Whichever one you want, but eventually it'll be both. In some cases, if we
eventually, and I was gonna say something stupid.
So that's just a Pokemon Bakker, but
okay.
Past the first 20 minutes that were cut, it was a tremendous film. I think I like the Japanese voice for Zorua better, but the English one I've grown to like, mainly because the voice actor who did Zorua is also the voice actor who now plays Ash's newest girl traveling companion, Iris. So, I found that pretty interesting myself. So,
who's Iris in black and white again? Who's Iris supposed to be in black and white again?
In white version, she's the 8th gym leader. In black version, she's just some random girl who...
In black version, she is also the gym leader. It's just that you don't fight her as the 8th gym leader.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not that far yet.
I'm at the 8th gym, but anyway.
Yeah, well.
The voice actor that they chose for Kodai, I like the English version way more because he actually sounds more professional more like a businessman rather than just some random guy they pulled off the street and said, here's a script, read this.
Right, but speaking
of Kodai, say, I think he sounded like a piece of scum, but that's just me.
See, but speaking, but I think him sounding like a piece of scum actually adds to the character, because the way that they design Kodai and the way he acts makes him a really hateable villain. You just gotta love to hate him. Hate his guts. So, I don't know, I love villain characters. Just because
like
of that.
I like good villain characters. I don't know, I was on the fence about him.
I wouldn't go and say that he's like one of the best villain characters, but they got him on the right track.
Yeah, they did. He was actually evil and conniving and actually wanted to ruin people's lives, whereas, you know, Team Rocket is all, we're gonna steal your Pokemon, oops, you suck.
They do suck.
Never mind, yeah.
No question about it.
Or at least Jesse and James, Team Rocket.
We're going to steal your Pikachu!
Steal your Pikachu for
Sorry, not in the mood today. Hey Pikachu, give them the Thunderbolt, will ya?
Sorry, your argument is invalid.
Pikachu, we're blasting off again. Yep. Anyway, so, and the fact that I dare say that Kodai is the first true evil villain that there has been in the movies, at least. All the other villains have had ulterior motives for their acts. For example, in Arceus and Jewel of Life, the villain just wanted to keep his town flourished. In Guaranteed and Sky Warrior, the villain actually wanted to save a different world. And in Jirachi Wishmaker, the villain...
So basically what you're saying is they've had justification for being...
They've had some sort of justification, and if you're a 7-year-old kid watching the show, then you could say, you could see where they're coming from, you can understand that. Whereas with this film, Kodai really doesn't have any justification. He wants what he wants, and he'll do anything to get it. And that's...
Because he's a jerk.
That's what makes him truly evil. So...
Right. Just the jealousy and just the wanting of this particular item, not caring for the countermeasures or the effects of his actions might be... Yeah, he's evil.
No doubt about it.
So
that's what I have to say about Kodai.
Sure is a different take on the Pokemon villains, which, like I said before, kind of adds to the whole reboot of the series, or shuffling of new ideas to the Pokemon series.
Mm-hmm. I definitely applaud them for that.
Yeah. That's what I have to say about Kodai.
They made me care about the characters.
Yeah. Well, and then there's Zoroark. When I first saw the movie, I was like, yeah, Zoroark's the best. But then when I went back and saw it, I'm like, okay, somebody explain to me why Zoroark only appears literally one quarter of the time in this film.
Because there was no reason for it to have it in the rest of the film?
Well, there is no reason, I agree, but the only times that you see Zoroark, I'm just going to refer to Zoroark as a she or her, the only times you see her, she's being manipulated by Kodai, she's being pretty much attacked by Kodai, she's being injured, and the only time that you finally see her not being hurt in some way, either emotionally or physically, is in the very end scene, which I probably shouldn't have said. So.
I think what they were trying to go for with the name and only showing Zoroark in those type of situations is to get the audience kind of excited for whenever Zoroark does come into the scene, and because Kodai is the one who's behind, is the man behind all this, you know, people know by the name, Zoroark is a good character, but you're seeing such a good character, or the main title character, hurt and abused so much that you feel for the character, and then you hate Kodai even more. That way, when things kind of finally come full circle, the climax of the movie is so much grander for fans of Zoroark.
Oh, yeah, I guess I see. I can see that. I think that... I think that her voice was a little
stupid.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah, but.
But I never got when Zora could talk, but she couldn't. So.
I actually can't.
You can't really say too much of a Pokemon's voice, particularly with Zoroark. Now, with Zorua, the one who actually has an actor, it's a different story.
Zorua.
I hate it how Zoroark's noise, all it was. Kind of like it was gagging on something the whole time. It seriously sounded like it was gagging. And it's slightly disturbing. I mean, I don't mind sick humor and dark humor because in the right instances, it can be a very good tool. However, considering they already had pretty much a dark theme going on, I don't think they needed a Pokemon summon like it was trying to choke the whole time.
Yeah, I actually do agree to a point, but I didn't really think of it too much, just I don't know why.
Oh, it bothered me. Something.
It didn't bother me.
Yeah. Fierce. So, all in all, I'd say Zoroark and Zorua are probably my favorite Generation 5 Pokemon just because they're in this film.
I think, though, that what Zoroa and Zoroark are for Generation 5 is what Ryolu and Lucario were for Generation 4. Just a really cool-looking Pokemon. And really cool Pokemon in general.
Yeah.
Just they're designed to be cool and attractive to 99% of people who play Pokemon.
Yeah.
So that's the point, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, Zoroark's getting an Eevee page.
Yep.
Points to anybody in the audience if you got that one too.
So I guess we could end up there. What do you guys say as far as a star rating? Luca, what would you give this movie?
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5? You're gonna elaborate.
Worth watching a couple times. I don't know. Then I just pick stuff at random. It's worth watching a couple times. It's not a horrible, horrible way to spend an evening or an afternoon if you don't have anything better to do. It is a Pokemon movie, but, you know, some people really, 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 really like that stuff, and some people don't, you know.
I think I'm going to be a little bit more lenient than you and go with 3.5. Out of 5, or roughly, what is that, 7 out of 10? Just for the pretty much the same fact. I mean, it's a Pokemon movie, yes, but if you could get past that and kind of dump your mind of how the rest of the movies before it turned out, you could, I think it'll allow you to kind of see Pokemon in a semi-new light, which is interesting. And I do think they really did a good job with the movie, but even so, I don't think it'll be people outside of the fandom will be too attractive to it natively. So, still,
Going on a 4-star rating, I'd give it 3 out of 4. Again, not my favorite Pokemon film, but definitely in my top 3. I think the visuals were excellent. The voice acting sucked, like any anime, and it was a terrific plot, and I was just really glad that it didn't turn out to be a huge piece of crap like Destiny Deoxys.
Oh yeah, by the way, all the hate mail
we're
you
not
could
talking about that.
By the way, all the hate mail you can send it to skull@sourcecast@gmail.com and make sure you address it to Skull. By the way,
seriously. We don't want any of that since still. I guess that wraps up our review.
Except for one little detail. I'm going to share with everyone my script. Not every single word of it. just some of the key points, like I was telling you earlier, some of the darker stuff. This is real exciting. I have an original first draft English dub script for Zoroark, Master of Illusions, which I got off eBay. Don't ask how much I paid for it, because I don't think anyone should pay any sort of amount like I paid for any kind of piece of paper. But Let's just say I'm not going to be selling it anytime soon because I like it.
Again, all the hate mail goes to Skull.
Yes. So, in my script, it has some dialogue that ended up being in the final film. But a whole lot of it had to be changed in order for the film to secure a G rating instead of a PG.
Lovely American censorship.
They've gotten...
At least it's not for kids.
They've gotten a little... Yes, thank God it's not for kids.
I can't say on here what I want to do to poor kids, so I'm just not going
to. So I guess it doesn't matter. Let's just say the original script for the English version called for the film to be much darker. I mean, you can't change the animation or any sounds, obviously, or even the music, but you can change what a person says. So the original script called for a whole lot of more dark dialogue in some parts of the film. For example, spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear any spoilers for the film, just stop the recording right now. After this, there's not going to be anything. During one part of the film, when Kodai says, "Quick, Shuppet, use Shadow Ball," and Shuppet uses Shadow Ball, aims it at Zorwa, and Zoroark takes the blow. The original script called for Kodai to actually say, "Shuppet, quick, kill Zorua." And after Zoroark takes the blow and Kodai electrocutes her, the final version, he said, "How dare you trick me for what you've done, you're going to pay." But the original script called for him to actually say, "Using a trick on me, how dare you do this, I'll kill you." Obviously, using the actual words death and kill and stuff like that are going to make it much darker, and that would have made it rated PG. And apparently, they don't like kids' films to get a PG rating. So,
again, the differences between Japanese censorship and American censorship.
Yep.
It sucks.
It's still not for kids.
And one of the dialogue pieces that I think would have been terrific in the final film was, you know, when Zoroark has actually died. And yes, she did die in the original Japanese, and everything that's in the original Japanese is considered for real. So...
For reals, man. For reals.
For reals. That's considered the canon. But she dies, and Ash in the dub says, "Hang in there, Zoroark. You can't leave. You can't leave. You just met up with Zorua again." But the original script called for him to say, "Zoroark, you can't die. Where will Zorua be in this world without his Mima?" I wish that had stayed, but, you know, censorships. But yeah,
yep.
That's just something really interesting I wanted to share, and I guess that was our review of Zoroark, Master of Illusions.
Yep.
And my debut back online after who knows how long.